British forces are currently deployed on 39 operations across 46 countries. But what are they doing in these remote and far-flung locations? The FBS joined up with the MOD to find out what life's really like for those on ops. This time, we're having a brew with the Royal Navy in Bahrain.
So firstly, has everyone got a brew with them?
Yes. Yeah, we do.
Nice. Same as well. And just to introduce ourselves and tell us what your brew of choice is.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I've got an English breakfast tea.
Hello, I'm Maka, and I've got a vanilla latte.
And I'm George, and I've got a caramel latte, actually, since we're shoreside. Haven't got the luxury of one of those nice coffees at sea. And then where are you in the world, and what operation are you on?
So we're currently in Bahrain on Operation Kipian, out in the Gulf. It's very hot. That's all I can say about this place.
Yeah, it is pretty hot. So telling us what Op Kipian is, probably the best place to answer that one. So Op Kipian is the sort of the armed forces or British armed forces presence in the Middle Eastern region, sort of conducting various operations within the region. That could be anything from counter-narcotics to maritime security. One of the key things that we do on HMS Montrose is keeping the Straits of Hormuz, keeping those open. It's a key shipping lane. And with us being an island nation, it's really important that we get those shipping lanes open. It gets us our links so we can basically stay afloat as a nation. The importance of Op Kipian, as I sort of already discussed as well, is pretty much just making sure that we're all safe. But anyway, we'll sort of roll into some of the questions. So what kind of ship is HMS Montrose?
So HMS Montrose is a Type 23 frigate. It's a general purpose frigate. It's got all different roles, all different sensors that we can use at sea. Duke class frigate.
Yeah, so we've got, I think, 13 Duke class frigates in the fleet at the moment, Montrose being the forward deployed one, which means that she's always based out here in the Gulf. She has two crews, so we're starboard crew out here at the moment, and port crew currently back in the UK with some well-deserved leave and also training as well. In terms of our roles on board,
So I'm the leading physical trainer on board. So my job is to not only keep people fit physically, but obviously their morale is important. And that's a big part of my job, morale, mental health. And just leading on the physical training is going to improve both of those, morale and mental health. So I'm going to say got a pretty important job, not going to lie.
So my job is AWT, above water tactical. So I'm in the warfare department. My job is mostly down the ops room, using the kit down there to do with Link, crypto and pitch compilation as well. Making sure, obviously, ship safety at night and through the day as well. And then any operations, we can then transfer over to wartime roles as well. And yeah, that's my role.
And I'm one of the officers of the watch on board. So my role essentially is driving the ship, keeping her navigationally safe throughout all the time we're at sea. There's about four of us on board, so we'll rotate round. So there'll always be someone up driving the ship. I work quite closely with both Maka and Chris. Chris sometimes will be up on the wheel as a QM, so he'll actually be the one steering the ship. And Maka down in the ops room, he's got that bigger picture and he's providing all that sort of information to me on what shipping we've got around, which really helps me for my sort of greater awareness of what's going on. Helps me to make decisions a lot earlier and keep the ship safe.
Yeah, just as we previously touched on then, quartermaster is driving the ship. I'm in control of the steering of the ship, led by the officer of the watches, not only just steering the ship, but making sure if we have any things like breakdowns or anything like that, we've got quick reaction to make sure that everything is run smoothly so that we can carry out our roles whilst on Operation Kipian.
Yeah, and I thought while we're on the topics of jobs, one of the questions we got is who's got the coolest job on board?
Me.
I mean, yeah, we've got a lot of cool jobs on board. I'm sure everyone would probably argue their branch. I mean, probably the pilot's probably got one of the best ones, actually being able to fly the aircraft.
Yeah, debatable.
What do you think, Maka?
I personally enjoy my job. From a civilian point of view, I think it'd be quite cool from their point of view because I do it every day. It gets less and less cool the more I do it, but yeah, it's I enjoy it personally.
You don't want to be a pilot?
I'll just be a pilot, yeah. I'll just be a pilot. But I'm scared of heights, so.
Fair one. And then, so what's the food situation like on board? I think it's been pretty good this rotation, to be honest.
Yeah, it's been pretty good.
It's been good food.
It's good morale food, isn't it?
Yeah. So The chefs have been really good. So obviously they provide us three meals a day. And when we're in defence watches, so that's sort of our state two running. So we'll have 50% of the ship's company up at any one time. They'll provide meals almost every 6 hours. So you'll get a breakfast, lunch and dinner and a midnight meal as well. So they do really well to churn those out, and they're normally all to a pretty decent quality.
Yes.
I mean, the last steak night was pretty good.
Food is a big morale booster on board, I think, especially at sea. You've had a long day or a long watch. And sort of, I think the food is probably the most important thing, I think, for morale. If you have a bad meal, then it's not the best way to end the day.
Yeah, what do you think your favourite meal has been on board so far?
I love lasagna. It's one of my favourite meals. So
yeah, they do.
Get me a lasagna any day.
Yeah, they do a good lasagna on board.
Nice. Chicken Kevin's.
Oh, can't beat a chicken Kevin. Cannot beat a chicken Kevin. But then how's the living situation as well? So obviously we covered Scran and the like.
I quite enjoy it. A lot of people, civilian side, would probably scrunch up their eyebrows at it, but living with 45 people in one small area, it sounds quite off-putting, but actually there's never really 45 people in there with watches and stuff and people working. You get a good bond, you get a good friendship role going on in the Messex, being so close to people. Round the back, you're inside one small area, is six beds, so you sleep with five other people in close proximity. But it just builds closer bonds, if anything.
Yeah, it almost feels like a big family on board.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all good up there. I mean, especially for, so my cabin, I live with one of the other officers of the watch, and we almost use it like our office as well. So we've got a computer in there. You find that you almost live out of your cabin, but it's good that you can go into somewhere like the wardroom or the mess space. You can actually relax, let your hair down, and actually enjoy the trip.
Yeah, so obviously on the wider picture of accommodation on board, you have to sort of make it as comfortable as possible. And on board, we've got a naffy, which is a small shop. We've got laundry room where we can do laundry. We've got gym on board. We've got all different kinds of stuff on there, haven't we? We've got...
it's almost like a small village, really. It's a bit like two decks, the sort of the high street, and you've got everything along the way. You've got all the dining halls where you go and get Scran, the naffy and so on. But no, it's good. You're sort of walking down two decks, saying hello to people. It's like just almost being back home in a way.
Yeah.
Can you explain your shift patterns and why they are like that? So that's quite an interesting one, being out here. So we sort of jump around between different postures, sort of depending on the threat environment. And with that becomes sort of like different working routines. So I know down the ops room, Matthew, if you want to touch on those.
Yeah, so down the ops room, it is a watchkeeping job. So at sea, I'm always watchkeeping. So when we're in normal kind of cruising watches, we'll be in one and three. So obviously one watch, kind of two watches off kind of thing. And then when we obviously move into more of a threat environment, we go to defence watches, which is 6 on 6 off, which is what we were talking about before, where it's like 50% of the ship's company is up at any one time. Yeah, we rotate rounds on watch in the ops room through that.
Yeah, obviously my job's a bit different as the PT. I'm up during the day making sure that all, whether the guys down the ops rooms or on the bridge teams or in the engine spaces, they're in their watch patterns. I'm up throughout all of those to make sure that they can get the physical training they need. So circuit wise, so I do three circuits a day, one in the morning, one at lunchtime and one in the evening. That's to accommodate for all of those three watches. So everyone gets a chance to get their physical activity in if they can't get themselves to the gym. So I do a day work. It's called a day working watch. So I'll be up at I'm up at 5 in the morning and I go to bed at about 10, 11 o'clock at night every day to make sure everyone's accommodated for.
Yeah, and then I guess myself as well, very similar watch routine to Macca. So I'll do 1 in 4 because there's or 1 in 5 now because they're slightly more of us qualified. And we'll just rotate around. So I'll do 4 hours on the bridge in a normal state 3. So just like cruising watches, peacetime. And then four hours on 12 to 16 hours off, just quite good. It gives you enough time to get work done and chill out, get some fizz in. And then when we're in state 2, it'll be 6 on 6 off. And we'll normally have 2 of us up for any one time. So while one of us will be actually have the ship and be driving, the other one's there to support. So if we're doing something like we're flying, launching the aircraft, if we're possibly doing gunnery or we might be doing boarding operations, there's always someone up there to support. And with it being state 2, 50% on, 50% off, there's always 50% of the ship's company up at any one time. And then if we need to, we can call the ship to action, which is state 1, we call it. And it's pretty much getting everybody up, everyone in the position, so the ship's in the best possible posture to fight any threats or deal with any emergencies we might have. Sort of while we're talking about like watch routines and stuff, obviously we talk about when we're on watch. What do you do on your downtime?
I go to the gym myself. so when I'm not providing training, I'll train myself. Obviously, that's the pinnacle of my job, isn't it? Make sure I'm fit. So to promote fitness around the ship. Fortunately for me, I'm in a position where not only am I delivering physical training, but I'm actually supposed to be delivering morale on board as well. And that can come in different types of events and just doing like little sports, like little games on the flight deck and putting on like things like whole ship Cluedos and stuff. That's for me, that is my downtime, making sure that people's morale is high. And that makes.
Are you still in the whole ship Cluedo, Macca?
No.
Did you get killed?
I got killed in that, which I was gutted about because it was actually a really good morale booster, as Chris was saying. So whole ship Cluedo works as if, so you have a big pot of names, a space on board and an item. And you get someone's name, and then you get a position, a place on board, and you get an item. And you've got to basically eliminate that person from the game by getting them in that compartment with that item at the same time. Yeah, so I got killed pretty quickly in that.
Who got you?
I got killed by WE in my place of work. I did speak to Chris about that because it won't be on fire. Did bring that up. So it was in the ops room by WE with a... I can't remember. What was it? A torch? I think it was a torch.
Oh, that's quite an easy one.
I think it was a torch, yeah.
So I got the navigator down the ship's office with a dart. That was pretty tricky. But now I'm thankfully still alive. Currently got to get someone in the heads or the toilets with a CO2 fire extinguisher. So yeah, so it's going to be an interesting one, how to justify being in the toilets with a CO2 fire extinguisher. Got to think about that one.
You're not in it, are you, Chris?
No, I'm not. I'm arbitrator.
Yeah. Someone's got to, yeah.
Someone's got to.
So what's the most interesting thing you've done in the deployment? I mean, it's been fairly mixed bag at the moment. There's been both alongside and at sea.
Mine personally was the charity event I organised. So I ran a charity event for the Royal Navy, Royal Marine charity. We were able to raise £1,000 for them. And how it worked was I would have a bar with 60 kilograms on it. And for every 10p someone donated, I would do one deadlift. So obviously we raised £1,000. So I deadlifted 10,000 times. And that was horrendously emotional. 11 and a half hours I was lifting weights for.
Yeah, the ship does actually quite a lot of charity work. In fact, one of the sort of similar time to that, one of the guys on board wanted to get his hair cut. Someone in the mess asked him how much he'd pay to shave his head, and it quickly turned into a whip round. And I think he managed to get almost £2,000, which he donated to charity, to completely shave his head, which he did do. And it's actually pretty impressive feat, to be honest, considering it was all done within sort of about an hour or so.
If only I knew it was that easy.
Yeah.
I want to run a charity event as well sometime within this trip. So I didn't touch on before. I'm the ship's barber, as you call it, Macca the barber. So I'll cut people's hair. I'm very busy with that. So what I want to do is I want to raise a lot of money by cutting hair, not charging, but obviously it all goes to charity as well. It would be the Royal Marines, Royal Navy charity. Obviously, it's a big charity for us because they provide us with the fizz gear we need, and it's a big morale boost for what they do.
Yeah, they look after families at home as well whilst we're away, which is a big one for us. So yeah, it's good to get a kit off them and stuff and some morale on the ship. But at the end of the day, most people on board have got families at home, and they look after our families, sending packages home to our to children, etc. So that's a big one to raise some money for them, because we look after them. So for them to look after us in return.
Sort of like keeping in contact with family. How do you guys do it?
Yes, it's quite good now. Over the past couple of years, we've been able to establish Wi-Fi on board. So that's helped a lot. Back a few years ago, it was just emails. You'd just send an email back, but now it's Wi-Fi. So you can keep in contact with family quite well. Messages, I think the Wi-Fi is not good enough to do things like FaceTime, but even just sending a message nice and quickly and receiving one is just so much better than an email. And that's just a massive morale boost as well, isn't it, for that?
It is, yeah. The Wi-Fi is a great morale boost. And and obviously we have Paradigm as well. It's a satellite phone. We just ring home when we're at sea. It doesn't matter where we are. We can ring home, which is a great
And of course, you've got all the Blueies, I was going to say, you've got the
classic,
old school Blueies as well.
Bluey, yeah.
Can't beat a classic. And I know one of the guys in the wardroom, he's got a little pocket printer. It's only like what size of a wallet, and he just plugs his phone into it, and he'll take pictures of us on ship or something, and he'll probably like stick him in a bluey and just send him back home. Just quite That's a nice good, little yeah. picture of him with the sea in the background. So for those of you who don't know what a bluey is, so it's just like a sort of a pre-printed like blue letter. So it's all like A4. So you can write in it and then you just fold it all up. It's even got the little tabs and the things. So you just seal it up and then you send it off, and it's sent off for free by BFPO. So it's a good way of, as opposed to like, you know, if you're out in the middle of the ocean, you can't really go to a post office and get stamps. So you can, you know, write it when you're out at sea. And then when, as soon as we get alongside, we'll get our mail in and then we'll just send it off in the outgoing mail.
It's just a nice personal touch, isn't it? It's more personal than anything. So.
Yeah, it can't be a nice handwritten letter. Are you missing home? You know, more on the subject of family. Sort of that half, sort of halfway point now, where we're almost just over the hump of the halfway through the deployment. Okay. So it's only going to be another 50, 55 or so days until we get back, or we're due to get back.
Yeah. So I've just completed my 14th year of the Navy, and this is the first time I've been given the opportunity to do this rotation thing on ships, which is the 4 months of being out here, 4 months at home. And I think that is a great thing for downtime when we do go home, because it's not them telling you you're going to go away for 10 months. It's the, you're being told you're going to go away and you're getting time off. In the past, it's been a bit up in the air. So this way, you know, you're going to get that time at home. So for me, knowing that I'm going to be at home, as bad as it sounds, it doesn't make me miss home as much, because I know I'm getting that time off at home, and I know I'm only going to be away for that small period. I can plan things. So I get out here, I can do my job really well, knowing that I'm going to have a good time at home. And so for me, this part is, it's made me miss home a little bit less, but because I know I'm going home to see my family for a good chunk of time when I get back.
Yeah, 4 months isn't actually that long when you come to think about it. Because by the time you join the ship, you go straight into Tiewit to sort of prove that you're ready for operations. So it's like theatre integration of weapon training to prove that we're ready to fight after having spent 4 months off ship. And then as soon as that's done, you're straight into operations, and the next thing you know, you're back before you know it.
Yeah,
I like it when it's busy, because when you are busy, it's, especially when you're watch keeping at sea, it does take your mind off being away from home. So that makes it easier being out here, being operational, being busy all the time. It makes it a lot easier, I think, and the time definitely does go quicker.
It's nice to count down from 4 months, not 11, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I joined the ship last February, so I've done, this is my third rotation now, so I've had two sort of the 4 month stints back home. I mean, it's been a bit of a pain with COVID, but it's been quite good just to, you know, actually spend that time at home, and to say you're actually at home for a decent amount. Although it's not 4 months completely off, it's not a case that I'll fly back into the UK and we'll just sit at home for 4 months. We'll still do training within that, because we have got to keep ourselves current. So, you know, coming out here into a quite a big operational environment, we've got to sort of keep our skills up to scratch. And sort of spending 4 months at home, you do get a little bit rusty. So it's important we stay current and up to date.
That's probably a good question to lead on, then, isn't it? Does much go on in the Gulf?
I don't know. Does much go on in the Gulf?
You get periods where you can go to sea for days and not see one ship, and then a couple of days later, the ship's everywhere.
Yeah, I think it depends where you are. So I think this rotation so far has been pretty quiet. We've sort of been tasked to do some counter-narcotics operations, but at the moment it's fairly quiet, and this because the seas are quite choppy. Because of the sort of time of year, June, July, you get the monsoon in the area, and with that it brings a much higher sea state. And for the last two rotations when we've been out, the seas have been almost flat calm. And I think for some of the newer guys coming out onto a ship where there's quite a lot of waves and a bit of sea state, quite a few people on the first couple of days were going down with seasickness.
Yeah, this is my first time out here, this side of the world. This was obviously a big shock to get used to it. So I've in previous deployments and operations, I've done towed a patrol ship duties, which is out in the North Sea and up near the Arctic Circle and the Barents Sea as well, where it's a lot more colder and a lot more choppy than it is around here. So being out here is a big shock, getting used to the heat and the different patterns of life out here as well. Out at sea, it's a lot different from going from kind of a Russian threat to kind of an Iranian and border missions. So yeah, it's a lot different out here, but I'm enjoying it. It's an enjoyable deployment, I think.
Yeah. Which do you prefer? Do you prefer the hot climate of the Gulf, or do you prefer it back in the cold north?
I prefer hot. So it just gives me an excuse to get my top off and do some sunbathing.
I prefer the hot as well. You know, it's not worse than going on specials and being sideways.
Once you've properly acclimatized to the weather, it becomes more bearable. It's still very hot out here, but it's, you know, when we first come out here with this flying out here now and not slowly coming through like the Mediterranean and stuff, you sort of slowly acclimatize to coming out here. But now we fly out and join a ship out here, it's, you have to acclimatize properly. But once that's happened, it becomes a lot more bearable and a lot more enjoyable to work in the heat for me.
I guess with the with us flying out and back, the whole point of Montrose really is that she's the forward deployed frigate to the region. So, I mean, you've probably actually sailed out to the Gulf. How long does it take you, Clad?
It takes you about 2 months to get out here. So the first 2 months is going through, obviously all the Mediterranean, doing some bits in the Mediterranean, then coming through the Suez Canal and then coming up that way. So up to 2 months, you can be coming out just before you're even out here. But then some ships can do it a lot quicker and they take a few weeks to come out. So this is the first time I've done this, just flying straight out here, rotation periods.
Yeah, it really helps, I think, for them wanting to keep a ship out here in the area that can quickly respond if anything goes wrong. As you know, if something were to kick off out here, then if we had a ship back in the UK, it would take, what, maybe say 3 weeks to get out.
Yeah.
And by then it's probably either died down or got a lot worse than it could be. But, you know, we're being out here at the moment, it could be as close as, you know, 24 hours away. And it's a lot easier to fly a whole crew of 200 people out and leave the ship out here than to sail a whole ship out. And obviously we can't fly a ship back because it weighs almost 4,000 tons. So it's quite a good model actually. So port crew, they're currently at home at the moment. So then that's the whole point of us being 4 months on, 4 months off, is that we don't go fly home for 4 months and, the ship just stays tied up alongside, is that port crew almost come and take it over. So it's almost like doing a watch, but for 4 months. So that's how they just keep the ship out here for so long. Obviously with us being out here and in the region, what's the importance of the shipping lanes to those back home in the UK? I mean, Michael, being on down the option, you probably understand this.
Yeah.
Quite well.
So with that question, it's very important to keep the shipping lanes open. So obviously Straits of Hormuz is a very tight point, the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, and obviously the Suez Canal. They're all very important shipping lanes out here. Obviously, as we touched on before, we're being obviously an island home. Shipping lanes are very important for us and the people back home to get, you know, obviously what we need into the country. So obviously being out here, setting the shipping lanes, keeping everything safe and making sure everything gets through safe is very important.
And you can sort of see that effect, although it wasn't a military issue when that tanker ended up like skewing off into the Suez Canal and got stuck, so they couldn't get the ships through. There was all that shipping backlog. I think there was. I saw sort of several news articles on various effects it's had on sort of the economy, where ships weren't able to get stuff in, people couldn't get stocks, and you know, you just don't realize the important vital supply chain of shipping until it's actually stopped. So with us being out here, we're just making sure those routes are free. And also being at UKMCC, we've got four MCMs out here, four UKMCMs that work with the Americans as well. And a threat for shipping could be that a shipping channel could get mined. So makes it incredibly dangerous then to transit through. You've just got floating explosives in the water. So it's their job to go and make sure it's clear so we can maintain that flow through. So it's another quite important thing of OpKippian and actually UKMCC being out here as well. Why did you join the military?
For me, all my family are military, from different types. So my dad's a pilot, my mum's an aircraft controller, my granddad's was submariner, then merchant navy, so forth. All my family have always been forces. So I just followed route, and here I am.
Yeah, similar for me, really, military family. My granddad was in the Navy, very big, like kind of naval family. My cousin was obviously in the Army, and my dad's always worked away as well. So it's always worked for me, like working away and doing interesting things. Couldn't really see myself doing anything else, to be honest. That's probably why I joined.
So I haven't really got any family in the military at all. My great uncle, I think he was in the Merchant Navy, but I just sort of got into the Navy by chance while I was at uni doing computer science. Sort of joined what they called the ERNI, which is a bit like University Royal Naval Unit. So they get university students and teach them what it's sort of what it's like to be in the Royal Navy. And then through that, I got really into whole work in the Royal Navy. And I may have failed a couple of computer science exams, but I left before they could tell me I formally failed. So then I went to join the Navy and haven't really looked back since, really. It's been pretty good so far. Haven't really had a sort of overly bad experience as of yet. And obviously sort of with that as well, you know, you can't just go straight from Civvy Street into the military. There's obviously the training involved to get you from that, you know, civilian to that military mindset. I know as an officer, I just you do your initial 30 weeks at Dartmouth, and then you go on to do my specialist training, which took 2.5 years. How about you guys?
So my training as a PT is six months at the at HMS Temeraire in Portsmouth. Pretty arduous. So you're talking three normal circuits a day, three rope climbing sessions a day, gymnastics for 4 hours every single night, and that's every day for 6 months. And it's tiring. You're finishing at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're back up for 5:30 in the morning. It's not only challenging on the body, but it's also very mentally challenging. The willpower is a big one for my PT course, but it just shows you what your body can do, and then hopefully you can promote that on to the new recruits coming through training. So that's my training.
Yeah. So as naval rate, you go through HMS Rally for your phase one training. And this is basically to teach you the core values of the Royal Navy. Almost your whole training, 10 weeks at HMS Rally, does teach you all the basics you need to know to be a sailor in the Royal Navy. Fitness wise, obviously you have the PT department, HMS Rally. That's probably the most fun part of Rally. But it gives you that discipline that you need to transfer over from Civvy Street to military life. It was enjoyable.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed my phase one as well. It was pretty good, 30 weeks at Dartmouth. And then obviously after that, I went off to sea for 2 years and joined various different ships. I did some time on HMS Northumberland for 3 months, learning sort of all the different roles of all the departments. And then I did 9 months on HMS Penzance for my specialist fleet time, where I learned basically how to drive a ship, and then passed course, qualified. It was quite a step change actually coming out here from minesweeper in up in Scotland, then to coming out here and joining a frigate in the Gulf, and it was completely different. But it's been really good so far.
Now working under UKMCC.
Yeah. So UKMCC. So what does it stand for and what does it do? I don't know if you know what it stands for, Macca.
The UK Maritime Component Command. It's forward presence in the Gulf for all the reasons I mentioned before. We're at an important maritime checkpoint. It's just vital to the world's trade. And obviously we work to keep that free.
And UKMCC sort of being based here in Bahrain, they offer a really good support facility for us. So being able to come in here, and we've got sort of various sort of personnel aspects that we could use the gym here ashore. They've got a coffee shop, so we can actually go and get the caramel latte today. I haven't got the luxury of having a caramel latte on board, but they're a really good support facility, and they really they help with operations. They just offer that base, that mothership for which all the units will operate from. So with this 4 months on, 4 months off, and 4 months out here, we've had sort of a maintenance period, and then let's see how does it compare to the other deployments that you've done. I've only really done sort of four on, four off, but I know you've done quite a few different ones.
This is my 14th time out here, 13 of which have been just the normal package coming out here between 8 and 11 months, and working under UKMCC, etc., and different CTFs, and actually in a different branch for me as well. I wasn't always a PT, so it was majorly different for me. I was warfare, like you, Macca, before, in the sonar role, so searching for submarines. But now I'm in a PT role in a different rotation period. And for me, this is brilliant. This is probably one of the best times I've had out here. So great for me.
Yeah, it's definitely a big comparison between what I've done, as I touched on before. obviously being out here, you forward deployed on border missions, and then obviously on the other side of things was Tertiary Patrol Ship, so submarine patrols up in the North Sea. So it's a very big difference in operations.
I think we've pretty much covered most of it. I mean, we go through like, what kit do you carry day to day? I mean, sort of being on board, we don't really carry that much kit with us. Not like the army do, where they got massive backpacks. Most of it's all fairly close to hand. But I don't know if you had a favorite bit of kit on board that you like to use.
Whistle. My whistle.
Your whistle.
Bosun's call.
No. My speakers, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
I take my speaker everywhere with me.
That's morale.
Whether I'm working with on different parts of the ship or I'm taking my circuits, music. Music is a big one.
Yeah, no, I've got a really good speaker as well. And even just sort of like when you're doing work and just being able to put that music on. I mean, ship's quite a surprisingly loud environment because you have the ventilation on, you hear the engines running. And just to put a speaker on, a bit of music in the background really helps when you work. Yeah, so clubs, as you were saying about speakers and using it for store ship. We've actually got a store ship right now, which we're just about to start soon. So we should probably head back and help out the rest of the ship's company bring all the stores on board. That's it for us. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. See you later.
Thanks for listening to Fancy a Brew. Check out other episodes at bfbs.com/podcasts.